Chapter 151. Plornish, you hardly would believe. It's made him quite poorly. As to his voice, this misfortune has took it away. You know what a sweet singer father is, but he couldn't get a note out for the children at tea, if you will credit what I tell you. Apostrophe, while speaking, Mrs. Plornish shook her head, and wiped her eyes, and looked retrospectively about the room. As to Mr. Baptist, apostrophe pursued Mrs. Plornish, whatever he'll do when he comes to know of it, I can't conceive nor yet imagine. He'd have been here before now, you may be sure, but that he's away on confidential business of your own. The persevering manner in which he follows up that business, and gives himself no rest from it, it really do, apostrophe said Mrs. Plornish, winding up in the Italian manner, as I say to him, Mishatnisha Padrona. Apostrophe, though not conceited, Mrs. Plornish felt that she had turned this Tuscan sentence with peculiar elegance. Mr. Plornish could not conceal his exultation in her accomplishments as a linguist. But what I say is, Mr. Clennam, apostrophe the good woman went on, there's always something to be thankful for, as I am sure you will yourself admit. Speaking in this room, it's not hard to think what the present something is. It's a thing to be thankful for, indeed, that Miss Dorrit is not here to know it. Apostrophe, Arthur thought she looked at him with particular expression. It's a thing, apostrophe reiterated Mrs. Plornish, to be thankful for, indeed, that Miss Dorrit is far away. It's to be hoped she is not likely to hear of it. If she had been here to see it, sir, it's not to be doubted, that the sight of you, apostrophe Mrs. Plornish repeated those words not to be doubted, that the sight of you in misfortune and trouble, would have been almost too much for her affectionate heart. There's nothing I can think of, that would have touched Miss Dorrit so bad as that. Apostrophe, of a certainty Mrs. Plornish did look at him now, with a sort of quivering defiance in her friendly emotion. Yes. Apostrophe, said she. And it shows what notice father takes, though at his time of life, that he says to me this afternoon, which happy cottage knows I neither make it up nor any ways enlarge, Mary, it's much to be rejoiced in, that Miss Dorrit is not on the spot to behold it. Those were father's words. Father's own words was, much to be rejoiced in, Mary, that Miss Dorrit is not on the spot to behold it. I says to father then, I says to him, father, you are right. That, apostrophe Mrs. Plornish concluded, with the air of a very precise legal witness, is what passed betwixt father and me. And I tell you nothing but, what did pass betwixt me and father. Apostrophe, Mr. Plornish, as being of a more laconic temperament, embraced this opportunity of interposing with the suggestion that she should now leave Mr. Clennam to himself. For, you see, apostrophe said Mr. Plornish, gravely, I know what it is, old gal, apostrophe repeating that valuable remark several times, as if it appeared to him to include some great moral secret. Finally, the worthy couple went away arm in arm. Little Dorrit, Little Dorrit. Again, for hours. Always Little Dorrit. Happily, if it ever had been so, it was over, and better over. Granted that she had loved him, and he had known it, and had suffered himself to love her, what a road to have led her away upon the road that would have brought her back to this miserable place. He ought to be much comforted by the reflection that she was quit of it forever, that she was, or would soon be, married. Vague rumors of her father's projects in that direction had reached Bleeding Heart Yard, with the news of her sister's marriage, and that the Marshalsea gated shut forever on all those perplexed possibilities of a time that was gone. Dear little Dorrit. Looking back upon his own poor story, she was its vanishing point. Everything in its perspective led to her innocent figure. He had traveled thousands of miles towards it. Previous unquiet hopes and doubts had worked themselves out before it. It was the center of the interest of his life. It was the termination of everything that was good and pleasant in it. Beyond, there was nothing but mere waste and darkened sky. As ill at ease, as on the first night of his lying down to sleep within those dreary walls, he wore the night out with such thoughts. What time young John lay wrapped in peaceful slumber, after composing and arranging the following monumental inscription on his pillow, "Stranger, respect the tomb of John Chivery Jr., who died at an advanced age not necessary to mention. He encountered his rival in a distressed state, and felt inclined to have a round with him, but, for the sake of the loved one, conquered those feelings of bitterness, and became magnanimous." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.